What's up? It's YouthCast. I'm Molly Adams. When you meet new people... Oh God, that sounds like a Sesame Street episode, but okay. When you meet new people, it's always important for them to know where you are coming from. And if you really love your hometown, you've got to rep it wherever you go. Lacey Roberts is a newly college-graduated independent producer living in her hometown of Missoula, Montana. She made this piece, How the West Was Won, last winter when she was still living in Providence, Rhode Island for her last year of college. How the West Was Won is an exploration of how where you're from makes you who you are. And forewarning, since this is a podcast, I'm not going to bleep it out, but Lacey's grandfather uses some really funny but profane language around 8.5 minutes. So this is Lacey Roberts, independent producer with How the West Was Won.
Five generations ago, a handful of my great-great-greats planted their pitchforks in the dust of southeastern Montana and never left. I've come to learn that most people probably conjure up a more accurate picture of what Montana was then than what it is now.
This land has a name today and is marked on maps. Five generations ago, a mere 125 years back, this land was known only as the West.
For me, it's a place where 9 out of 10 13-year-olds are enrolled in a hunter safety course. You start driving long before you have a license, and you sip out of your grandpa's Budweiser at the age of 3. It's not out of the ordinary to settle down and have kids before you turn 20, and traveling more often refers to shopping at the Costco in Billings than catching some sun in Cabo. Granted, when you're in Montana, surrounded by hills and cliffs that imitate the colors of sunsets and glassy clean rivers and mountainsides covered in every shade of wildflower, it can be hard to leave. My family found a lifestyle they love in Montana. We sort of spread across the state, but we never really crossed the border. Except 4 years ago, I did something drastic. I packed my bags and moved into a dormitory in Providence, Rhode Island. Meeting people in those first weeks of college, I would ask people where they were from. And they would always reply New York or Connecticut, Massachusetts, California. When I replied Montana, I started to feel like I was witnessing a shoot-'em-up scene out of a Western flash across their eyes.
You men, throw away everything we don't need. Go tell July we're ready. July?
To the people I was meeting on those old bricked sidewalks, leaning against the ivied gates, those symbols of good New England education, Montana could have been the Amazon.
Mid the plains of old Montana lives a
Montana.
Lacey's the only person I know from Montana.
People smoking cigarettes. Marble reds.
It's snowy.
And cattle.
And you can drink a beer in Montana, can't you, when you drive? Or you used to be able to, which is awesome.
I imagine large expanses, fruited plains.
I have no idea, Lacey. I just know so little.
Everybody's got a horse, obviously. It's the best way to get around in Montana.
Main Street in a small town, and...
What's a city in Montana? Are there cities in Montana? Is there an airport there?
I guess I knew on some level that people thought these things, but until then, Montana was just the place where I grew up. It was the place where I was dying to leave when I was 17. It was where I learned to drive and had my first kiss and did all of those normal, universal coming-of-age-in-America things. I thought it was absurd that my new friends could only imagine Montana as a backdrop for a John Wayne movie, where people still only eat side pork and beans. Then I started receiving these really odd letters from my grandfather. They were single, unlined pages, handwritten in my grandpa's scrawling all caps. There was no punctuation, and spelling has never been his forte, but there was something about them. Well, this was the first. Dear granddaughter, and there's no punctuation in this, so I'll do my best. Hope this gets to you before you graduate. As you know, the mail goes to Minneapolis by Pony Express. Thought I would let you know I discovered where rap came from. Your grandmother's head lice got going real good, so I waited till it warmed up to 30 below, and I took her down to the river and chopped a hole in the ice and put her in. When I let her go, I swear she was singing and dancing rap. Oh well, got rid of lice. That's a good thing. We ran out of side pork and beans, so had to go to town. Got attacked by Indians, shot one of them, took $100 from him. Your lucky day. Love, Grandpa Tyler. I was completely baffled. The letters came completely unannounced, but for some reason, I didn't really want an explanation, so I never asked. I hung the first one on my wall and showed it off to my friends. I was in love with it. It was as if my grandpa had been transported into a profoundly strange, completely fictional Western movie. They were completely off the wall, but I was beginning to think of Montana in an entirely different way. It didn't bother me when people asked if I rode horses to school. I started playing it up. I listened to country music, talking about the rodeos I'd been to. I was becoming the Western girl I never was when I actually lived there. With every passing month, my budding nostalgia grew into a fully declared obsession. Within a year, I was basically introducing myself as Montana Lacey, genuine cowgirl, with the zeal of the newly converted. Okay. Slight exaggeration.
I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna learn to rope and to ride. I wanna ride o'er the plains and the desert, out west of the great divide. I wanna hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west. I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart.
3 years later, I finally decided it was time to ask my grandpa about the letters.
Hello.
Hey, Grandpa.
Oh, I didn't think it was you. I didn't recognize the number.
Oh, I'm calling from a different number.
Oh.
So I was going through some old stuff the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember sending me those letters when I was a freshman in college?
Yeah, in fact, I was thinking about that the other day.
Why did you send me those letters? What spurred you on to do that?
Well, I was just having fun. Trying to make you homesick, I think, if I remember right.
I think you succeeded.
Well, and a lot of it I was just trying to, you know. I think the first or second time you come home, you'd said something about them. The people back there thought we were still fighting Indians out here, and so that's where a lot of it come from. Oh yeah, they do. They think we're hicks and hillbillies. And
well, are you?
Yeah, I like it that way.
I suppose in some ways, thanks to you and your letters, I sort of romanticize the place a little bit.
Oh, I suppose. And of course, it's what you make it, you know, because you've been in a totally different lifestyle, you know, from what Missoula is to Providence. I can't imagine. I'm just guessing what it's like.
I always sort of imagine your childhood as being like Huckleberry Finn.
It was. Oh, yeah, I was a renegade. I don't know if I ever told you, my sister's friend who moved away when, I don't know, I was about 8 years old, I guess, when she moved away, and I didn't see her again until about 10 years ago. And she come up to me and she says, you know, you were a little shit ass. I said, thank you.
When he tells a story, there's something about his delivery that makes it hard not to believe him. I still am never sure whether or not to believe a word he says. Just listen to this one.
In seventh grade, I had to take seventh grade over because I was working after school in a chicken hatchery. And
one of his jobs was to clean the trays at the bottom of the cages and take the trash to the city dump. It just so happened that one day the other workers had been drinking beer instead of working. That meant that my grandpa had to do all of the work and wasn't able to make his trip to the dump until after dark.
And I hit a big old cottonwood tree. But anyway, it broke my foot, broke every bone in my foot, and cut my knee real bad.
Oh, my God, Grandpa, when you were in seventh grade?
I didn't go to school the rest of that year, so I had to take seventh grade over.
So instead of going to the seventh grade, he started to make night deliveries. He drove a truck between two eastern Montana towns, Miles City and Baker, delivering bread and milk.
There were 90-pound cans that I was throwing around when I was in my second year in the seventh grade.
I asked him if anyone cared that they were sending a 13-year-old behind the wheel of a truck in the middle of the night.
No. In them days, the mischief you got into was maybe stealing a pie that some old gal had sitting on the windowsill.
These stories that my grandpa tells me, no matter if they're true or not, have become my mythology. His life story is the story of Montana, at least for me. When he was growing up in the late 40s and 50s, his sisters wore dresses made out of old feed sacks, and they didn't have indoor plumbing until he was 15. He married my grandmother in 1960, when she was 14 and he was 17. Neither of them graduated from high school, but they worked and saved and worked and raised some kids and then some grandkids, and managed to build themselves a lovely home smack dab in the middle of a postcard-perfect landscape. They live simply, happy with what they have, never aspiring to more than what they need.
That means if your belly's full and your bills are paid, you're happy. You got a warm place to crawl in at night. That's all you need. Fields of grain to the open night. We look at each other and think, well, how the hell did we ever get here, Grandma? We started out at 17 and 14 you know, it's just been a ride, I guess. That's how Grandma refers to it. It's been one great ride. So.
It is truly wonderful to be able to identify yourself with a place like Montana. But the thing about it is, these stories, they're myths. Maybe there was a parcel of truth to them back when my grandpa was a kid, but now things have just changed.
What are your hopes for the future of Montana?
Oh, I don't really have any hopes for the future of Montana.
Why not?
Well, it's not the Montana that I knew. So it's gradually being rolled over into something else, and that's what it'll be, you know. And then that's called progress. You know, you can't deny it. You know, it's going to come. So.
The West that was won by its pioneers, settlers, adventurers is long gone now. Yet it is theirs forever. For they left tracks in history that will never be eroded by wind or rain, never plowed under by tractors, never buried in the compost of events. Out of the hard simplicity of their lives, out of their vitality, their hopes, and their sorrows, grew legends of courage and pride to inspire their children and their children's children.
I'm not here to bemoan this march of progress. Okay, maybe a little bit. I do want to say, though, that the gap between the Montana of my imagination and the Montana that I can visit is not insurmountable. I can cross it every time I talk to my grandpa or walk in the mountains. I am so happy I got to grow up there, and I can't imagine being from anywhere else. And if anyone wants to call me Montana Lacey, genuine cowgirl, I definitely won't object.
Tonight in this big, busy city, mid the thousands, I'm lost and alone. And my thoughts keep drifting back to you, dear, and the old western home I have known. When the flowers of Montana were blooming
That was How the West Was Won by Lacey Roberts, independent producer. Through the magic of telephone technology, I called Lacey up in Montana to find out some of her top secret producer secrets.
Hello.
Hey, Lacey.
Oh, hey, Molly. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I actually am installing Pro Tools on my computer. It came in the mail yesterday.
Look at you.
I know. I'm so excited.
Independent producer.
That's me.
Is that how you would describe yourself right now, your occupation?
Yeah. Waitress, independent producer.
So what's it like to be back home since graduating? Are you going to stay there, or was this a financial move?
Well, I really love Missoula. I can't imagine a better place, really, to spend a summer. It's the mountains and the rivers, and I just spent 4 years in a city. I mean, some people would call it a city, but I would call it a city compared to where I'm from. Yeah, I'm a Montana girl.
Were you constantly homesick at college, and did making this piece make you feel better, or was that like the impetus for making this piece?
Really, the impetus for the piece was the way I felt about coming from Montana and being far from home really changed over the course of college. And like when I first started, I was really excited to be away, and I was really excited to, you know, be in a bigger city and closer to, you know, things that actually go on, as opposed to like 500 miles away from anything that could be called a city. But as time went on, I sort of, every time I would come back to Missoula or to Montana in general for visits or whatever, I would realize that there was really something missing about my life in a bigger city. By the time, you know, like my last year of college rolled around, I was really excited to get back west and be with my family and like see, you know, what my life could potentially be like, you know, back here as a 22-year-old as opposed to like a 16 or 17-year-old.
Did you always rep Montana really hard on the East Coast?
Oh, so hard. So, so hard. Like, all the time. If I met someone, it would be like, hi, what's your name? Where are you from? And I would ask them where they were from so that they would ask me where I was from, and I could be like, oh, I'm from Montana. And then, you know, the usual look of shock and awe on their faces, like, well, I've never met anybody from Montana. And I would just, they'd be like, oh, so, you know, did you ride horses and did you, like, you know, rope bulls and things? And I'd, you know, sort of exaggerate my few stories of ever having done that those things. But
what's your state bird?
The Western Meadowlark. our state animal is the grizzly bear, though, I'm pretty sure. And then the fourth, I know it's the fourth largest in landmass. It's only smaller than Alaska, California, and Texas.
What does your flag look like? What does the state flag look like?
It's blue, and it has a seal on it that says Oro y Plata, which means gold and silver. Because we have a strong mining history. And you also can see, like, I think that there's, like, wheat on it, representing all of the wheat we have and the plains of eastern Montana. And, I mean, I don't know if there's a cow on it, but there should definitely be a cow. You don't realize how great it is to come from, like, one of these obscure states until you've got people around you who aren't from one, you know?
So you're college educated, so let me ask you some radio theory questions. How did you avoid, with this autobiographical piece, how did you think you stayed out of being self-indulgent or self-referential to make it appealing to everybody? What were you trying to do?
I went through so many drafts of it, I think. And, you know, I still would say that it could go through a few more drafts. And that's always my greatest fear, is being self-indulgent. And it's really hard to do a piece about yourself without being self-indulgent. So, I mean, I had that great tape from my grandfather, who is hilarious, and plenty more where that came from. I guess I just sat down and I wrote all of the ways that I could avoid talking. And my grandpa was really good at talking, and I had those letters, and I didn't stumble upon it. I had recently seen the movie How the West Was Won, so they have this great prologue in the beginning and the great, like, outro in the end that I thought was just struck a really appropriate epic chord for this, like, large 14-minute piece. And I guess I just tried to say as much as I could in as few words as I possibly could, and let my grandpa speak and the letters speak for themselves.
What are you up to as an independent producer, and do you think freelancing is more difficult for young people? And, you know, plug yourself while telling me these things.
Well, what I'm up to right now is I am about to go on that sort of, like, big adventure that a lot of people go on when they have some extra time. And mine's going to take me across the West Coast to visit friends and hike some mountains and ride my bike in a new city and do lots of different things like that, and hopefully gather lots and lots and lots of audio to bring together to maybe do a series on, you know, the people I met, or, you know, I haven't gone yet, so I'm not really exactly sure what form it's going to take. But, you know, I think that for me, being an independent producer right now is gotta be a little bit easier in terms of I have a lot of time, and I've been saving money for this trip for a long time, and I don't have any, you know, I don't have obligations, I don't have kids to make sure I'm feeding, and I don't have, I'm not gonna have rent to pay, I'm just gonna have myself and my car and my audio recorder, and it's, you know, that's all I really have to worry about for a little while. So in that sense, it's easier. But in another sense, you know, I'm just starting out. Oh, excuse me, a bug just flew in my mouth. I'm just starting out. So I don't necessarily have a whole lot of people that, you know, are paying very close attention to what I do. And hopefully, you know, the more you do, the more people are listening, and which is good, because the better you're going to get, the more you do, and the more people are going to appreciate what you do.
Okay, so people can check out the Ladies Village Improvement Society online.
Yeah.
What's the website?
The website is lvisradio.org, and they can also get it off of iTunes. Just by searching the Ladies Village Improvement Society.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Lacey. It was really nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Molly.
Fellas, can we still do it?
As you eagerly await the next installment of YouthCast, entertain yourself at our website, youthcast.org. You'll find past episodes with bonus material, plus fun and informative links to audio around the internet. If you do that whole Facebook or Twitter thing, you can find us at facebook.com/youthcast and twitter.com/prxyouthcast. That's where we link to the coolest youth-produced jams. This has been Molly Adams for YouthCast, a project of Generation PRX. Generation PRX is a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced radio. Check it out at generationprx.org. YouthCast, where radio makes you wish you were young again.